One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, low to the waist, a Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Saturday Morning Apocalypse. I'm your host, David Slider. I'm joined by the extreme ruler of the wasteland, Morton Hoof.
Let's get sharky.
How many, this episode, all right, we're going to have a little counter how many shark puns we have throughout this episode. Because this cartoon, so we're talking about street sharks. And like, has there ever been so I was aware of the, I guess just to get into our, before we get into the episode, we're talking about episode one of Street Sharks entitled Shark Bait. And just a little history, I was aware of this cartoon growing up. I want to say it had a video game, maybe. It definitely had toys. But that's about where my history ended with it. Like, did you have any sort of history with Street Sharks?
So when I was a kid, I used to watch it a little bit, but I don't actually, before watching it again with you, I didn't really remember too much of it. My cousins had some of the toys. I didn't have any Street Shark toys. I mean, I loved toys when I was a kid, but I didn't have any Street Shark toys. But my cousins did. And that's how I probably knew most about Street Sharks. But I can't remember. It must have been a channel thing. Like, it wasn't on the channels that I used to watch a lot or whatever. But, I mean, This was around the time where I would be watching it. So, but for whatever reason, it wasn't, like, it's not ingrained in my kid canon.
Yeah, it's like, well, just to kind of get into it, to touch on Street Sharks, like, just my initial impression of this show, has there ever been a more transparent rip-off cartoon of another cartoon than Street Sharks?
Yeah, I mean, it's they have even a joke in the first episode. Or is it the second episode about...
I think it's the second.
Yeah, it's the second. I mean, we'll probably bring it up. But yeah, there's a pretty much as direct as you're going to get to Turtles.
Yeah, it's insane. It's so blatant. It's like, I imagine a fucking TV producer or someone like chomping on a cigar saying, "Where's our Ninja Turtles? You egghead writers better give me a Ninja Turtles of my own. And they need to be cool. They need to be tougher. Make them look like they're roided up, not like them pussy Ninja Turtles. Like, they need to be extreme. You hear me? Or it's your ass on the line." Yeah. You know, it's like, if that's like, that's what I imagine with this show, because everything about this show just screams blatant ripoff of the Ninja Turtles. I mean, straight down to their attitudes. They each have like a little, like a signature thing. Like, one of them rides around on roller skates. One of them parachutes in at one point. One of them has a jetpack, so I'm assuming he's like a smart guy. Like, they're all teenagers, essentially. Well, I guess technically they're college students, but essentially they're teenagers more. They act like teenagers. And just the entire show is just like, it's to me, with a few exceptions, which we'll get into a little bit, maybe in our second of our Street Shark Apocalypse, Saturday Morning Apocalypse double feature, there's so little here that of value. Like, it's just blatant ripoff. And honestly, I was a little insulted watching this show. As a fan of the Ninja Turtles, I was kind of just like, fuck you, Street Sharks. Like, did you have a visceral reaction like I did, Hoof?
No, I think I'm on the opposite side. I'm on board with the Street Sharks.
The Street Sharks are awesome, dude.
They're jawsome.
All right, ring the bell. That's a pun.
I think that the Street Sharks are the next level of the Turtles because, like you said, they are. Some writer was like, "We got to do it more extreme. This is the '90s now," and they're roided out. They've got their vehicles are absurd. The villain is crazy, but I think that they go, the first two episodes that we watched, they go ham on the transformations, like, more so than the Turtles did. And it's kind of disturbing.
See, that's like the one thing that I think this show does a little differently, or that like the one little positive I would give the show is that it's surprisingly brutal in some areas, and the implications of certain things like the transformations and other things, which we'll get into in the second episode, are surprising. And I think that's the one thing I really responded to, is like there are like surprisingly brutal moments in the show.
I was like, this show does not give a fuck. Like, they like, if you watch the Turtles, the Turtles cartoon specifically was a little bit tamer than this show, and this show does not care about really logic or consistency. I mean,
it doesn't care about anything.
Yeah, and I kind of admire that. Like, it's like you can walk the line between like carefree and goofiness, but also like try to maintain some consistency or whatever. But this show just doesn't care about the rules at all. Like, they just throw anything at the wall, and I kind of like that. Like, it's just kind of wild.
It's certainly wild, but like, to be honestly, like, there are points in the show where I was just like, did I forget that I like smoked some weed and got high before I watched this? I didn't, but I was questioning whether I did or not, because what was going on in the show made me feel like I was stoned. I was just like, am I really watching this? Is this really a thing? Or am I hallucinating right now?
Well, it was for sure a thing, and there were 40 episodes, so I mean,
oh, that's actually not that surprisingly low. I figured there would have been like at least 100.
Well, we're talking about the first episode today, which is called Sharkbait, and the first, according to Wikipedia, the first season was only 3 episodes, so I'm guessing they got some kind of pilot season. And as you saw, the first 3 episodes are direct continuations of one another. So,
well, I didn't realize that until the end of the second episode, and so I'm just thinking, like, was this Hoof's like ploy to get me to watch 3 episodes of Street Sharks?
I don't know. Is it working?
Well, I gotta know how it ends. Like, I may think it's dumb, but I gotta know.
It wasn't so terrible then, if you gotta know, right?
I could figure how it ends, but like, I gotta see like the next brutal thing. Well, I guess let's get into it. Like, that's kind of one thing that I want to address like a little bit, is the surprising brutality. But let's get into Street Sharks. Hoof, you're apparently the super fan. You're
recent super fan, though. Let's
recent
just make
super
that clear,
fan, yeah. Recently converted shark fan. Why don't you give us the synopsis for episode 1 of Street Sharks, Sharkbait?
So episode 1 starts out in a dark, spooky laboratory with this creepy doctor doing some crazy
with an eye patch.
With an eye patch, so you know he's suspicious. So he's doing some kind of experiment, and then there's this other doctor who's, I guess, is breaking into his own laboratory or something like that, which I'm not really sure.
Dr. Bolton,
he's breaking into this lab, and apparently inside this lab, they're doing some experiments with gene splicing, or in this show, they call it gene slamming.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah, they say it, I think, twice.
Gene splicing's too pussy, man. Let's make it more extreme. Gene slamming.
Slamming, yeah, like a slam dunk, or like a slammer with pogs, or whatever.
Oh, man, pogs!
So they're doing some crazy experiments. The Dr. Bolton, who broke in, is like, no, you can't do this. This is against science. And the evil doctor is like, no, we have to perfect science. And so they're doing crazy experiments. The crazy doctor, his name is Dr. Paradigm. He has originally started to gene slam a swordfish and a lobster with human DNA. And one of the DNAs happens to be Genghis Khan. So
that's what, okay. See, I didn't, that's the big, well, okay, just continue. We'll get to that.
Okay. So he makes these two monsters, his lobster monster and the swordfish monster. And then he does something to inflict Dr. Bolton, the good doctor, with a gene splicing or slamming technique too. And then he runs away. Then what happens is that the doctor who is good, he has four kids, I guess they're they seem like teenagers to me.
I thought it was five.
What do you mean?
Wasn't it five teenagers, or was it only four?
There's only four street sharks in this episode, or these two episodes.
Oh, I'm confusing Benz.
Oh yeah, Benz is not.
Was lumping Benz in with the kids.
No, he's their friend, I guess, but he's not.
Sorry.
The kid. So there's four kids. they get told to meet at a abandoned nuclear power plant, which I guess is normal. They meet the doctor.
Well, anything's normal in Fission City.
They meet the doctor, and the doctor immediately captures them and starts doing human experimentation on these kids. And he injects them with the gene slammer, and it doesn't seem to work at first. So they're quickly abandoned in like a gutter.
There's so many points I want to just jump in and be like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
I don't want to interrupt your synopsis. I'm sorry.
This show is nuts. They get abandoned in the gutter. They wake up and they're feeling fine at first. They go to get some hamburgers. They start transforming when they're eating their hamburgers, and they turn into the street sharks. And then, they're immediately ambushed by police, and they have to escape. So they're going to escape, and the episode basically proceeds in the sense that Dr. Paradigm wants to capture the street sharks to do further experimentation and get to the bottom of the mysteries of science. And that's about the first episode.
He wants to do exploratory surgery. Oh, God. Which, again, like, what the fuck? So let's kind of get into it. Like, the surprise, that's kind of the main takeaway I had from this first episode, and really these first two episodes as a whole. Surprising brutality. Like, exploratory surgery. Like, we get fucking injections, which is something you don't usually see, I feel, in like these kind of more kiddified cartoons. Like, people straight up get injected. Like, you see veins, you know. It's like the transformations are surprisingly brutal. I was shocked.
Yeah, there's some. So I think a lot of I think you're absolutely right that this kind of experimentation that happens to the kids is like pretty explicit. Like, so the turtles, if we want to go back to the turtles, like, their transformation sequence wasn't as like horrific in a sense. I mean, it was just turtles. They got, you know, they got the ooze and then they transformed. But this is actually human experimentation, which is kind of just crossing the line, I guess. But
I mean, you see, it's like torture. They're like, no, you know what I mean? It's just the turtles didn't suffer. There was just some ooze that dripped on the turtles, some light hap, like, you know, and they transformed. Like, it wasn't like David Cronenberg level, like, body horror. Like, this is like, oh, God, you know, like, ah! You know, it's just like,
oh.
As adult, so I don't know, as a kid watching if you watch this first episode, if your mind would go that wild. But as an adult, with all the things that we've seen, like, our minds already kind of take it even further, like the implications of what we're watching. And I think another thing that happens immediately after the experimentation on the kids, which is so like galling to me, is that I can't tell if they think the kids are dead or just passed out, but the way they just abandon the bodies in a gutter is savage.
Yes, and I'm like, no, they thought they were dead for sure.
That's what I thought,
too. The way they laid them out. Well, that girl, like the skater or whatever, the rollerblader that skates by on the bridge and looks down, she's like, she says, there are four bodies down there.
She does.
It's like, again, just the word, just saying bodies in a cartoon like this, like, to me, that was shocking in and of itself.
Yeah, there are several moments in the show, the two episodes that we watched, where they use some verbiage that almost seems like this might, I thought this was off limits, but they
me too.
I think those in the first episode, those are the two most fucked up things, is the human experimentation and then the consequent or the following abandonment of the bodies. Like, I mean, these are kids and they just abandon the bodies. Like, it's just the implications of this are just it's just messed up. But so I'm on board with this. Like, it's like, I can't imagine what you would think, be thinking as a kid watching this.
Well, and so, yeah, like that as an adult, that's what I was responding to. But if I'm watching this as a kid, the intended audience, I don't know how I would respond. I suppose I would like it because their designs are like, they're very much the designs of like the toys of the era, like very much roided out and like buff and awesome, like kind of taking off of He-Man, you know, just gigantic physical gigantic physiques and stuff like that with like tiny legs. Surprise, with funnily enough. But I guess I would have liked it as a kid, but watching it now, again, like I said, it just kind of comes off as a transparent ripoff, and it's not as cool as Turtles. It's not original in any way, I don't think, except for the sense of brutality. But it just seems like I was just watching it and thinking, like, when they were trying to be so extreme, they were just coming off as lame to me. I'm sorry.
Oh man, it's that. I'm the opposite. Like, I think that so there's one thing about copying, doing an homage or copying something like blatantly, but then there's also, from my perspective, when it comes to doing carbon copies and stuff like that, if there's an earnestness to it, which I think there is here in Street Sharks, then I'm on board. So it's like, okay, yeah, this is a blatant ripoff, but at the same time, like, they are enjoying the ride. Like, it's not like it's for me, they weren't going through the motions making this show. Like, they were having fun with the show. So like when we talked about the Wuzzles, like they were on drugs or whatever when they were making that show. I don't know if drugs were involved in this show, but like they were having a good time writing the show. That's the sense I got. And I think that when you have a show that kind of enjoys itself, then that kind of, I picked up on that, and that's what I kind of, so I'm like, yeah, Street Sharks are cool. Like, these are, I love the jokes that they're doing. Like, okay, so what happens after they immediately transform is they were eating burgers, they transform, and one of them's like, I'm still hungry. So they start eating the burger stand. Like, that, that is funny.
Yeah,
to
me. That was a funny moment.
That's funny to me. So, and then I like how I guess they swim underground and they're just breaking the cement or whatever. So
once again, this is one of the moments where I'm like, I don't think I got high before I started watching this cartoon, but now I'm not so sure. Cause that's a crazy visual. They're just swimming through the street, I guess.
Well,
Street Sharks. So I guess the implication is that they're sort of burrowing.
I guess. I mean, and that's the other thing about the show is like, so when I said earlier, like, this show doesn't give a fuck, the logic here, like, exactly with them swimming under the concrete or whatever, it doesn't really make any sense, but they're still doing it, which is, to me, it's like cool. Like,
because it looks cool, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's like, this is a cartoon, let's have fun. So I'm on board with the Street Sharks swimming under the concrete or whatever. There's one moment that I wanted to bring up that I thought was really funny, because when we talked about Godzilla, we were talking about whoever's doing the voice acting for Godzilla sounded like he was a drunk guy. It only happened once in this episode, but there's a moment where they're in an amusement park and the Street Sharks are going to eat the bottom of a Ferris wheel to release it to use it against the villain. And the sounds they make are like, blah, 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 blah. It's so funny. Let's get him.
Well, it's, this is interesting. Like, I don't think we've had a point yet where we've been so opposite on a cartoon series. This is the first time that we've had a split. I feel like up to this point we've been pretty consistent. Like, we've both more or less felt the same way about the cartoons we've been watching. But this time, this is like a clear split. Like, honestly, I don't want to say I was having a bad time watching these episodes. I wasn't. but it was I couldn't stop thinking, like, this show is just lame. I'm sorry. This cannot hold a candle to the Turtles. And there's a point in the second episode when they directly reference the Turtles, more or less, when I was at that point, I kind of turned against this show, to be honest with you. I was just sort of like, fuck this show. And again, as I say that, I want to reiterate, I didn't necessarily have a bad time watching this, but I wasn't really on board.
I feel like your loyalty to the Turtles is getting in the way of your openness to the Sharks.
That's a good question. If I had no exposure to the Turtles at all, would I enjoy this for what it's giving? I can't say. Like,
you can like Turtles and Street Sharks at the same time, Dave. You don't have to choose a side.
But it's so transparent that when I see this show, it's like every frame I like see Raphael, Donatello, Michelangelo, and Leonardo. It's like it's so transparent. Like, they might as well have just color coded the sharks too. One to be blue, red, purple, and orange.
But they don't because there's different types of sharks, Dave.
One's a rollerblader shark. One's called the Ripster. I forget the other names. I don't know if they were named yet.
They didn't even name them. Or they said the human names. Like, I think one's name is Coop. But they don't. So in the first episode, I think it. No, it's the second episode. So we'll get to it. But the only one of the sharks gets his shark name. But there,
which is surprising.
We didn't cover this yet, but each kid gets turned into a different type of shark. So like the leader, his name ends up being Ripster. He's a great white. And then,
of course,
so I'm not a shark expert, so I don't know the other types. Well, one's a hammerhead, and then there's the one beefy, the football player. Before he gets turned into a shark, he gets turned into this big ass like brown shark, like, and he's my favorite shark. So
is it because he's wearing it's a shark that's wearing a football pants or something?
No, he's just, I just love that. So I like that, the fact that, okay, all the sharks are roided out and big beefy sharks. He's even bigger. he's somehow extreme.
Again, that was probably the mandate that the animators and the creators had, like, make him extreme.
Yeah,
like,
and that,
we just want to let you guys know you can't go extreme enough. Okay.
See, and that is cool to me because that goes in the face of standards and practices that have like tamed a lot of shows that some of which we've talked about in the past. So I feel like kids' cartoons. Especially because we're not in the 80s anymore. We're in the 90s. And so from my experience is that in the 90s, there was more of a shift and there was more of a conscience in terms of what you can put on a show. And so the fact that this show decided to go even further, like the opposite direction of other shows, is like, yeah, let's rebel. So this show is rebellious, Dave.
I appreciate the impulses and the spitting at the fucking PC culture at the time. But again, it's just like there's not enough creativity here. It's just I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't get behind it. It's too lame. I know that's funny to say given how extreme the show is, but I think in trying to be so extreme, they end off coming off as lame to me. And it's just, I'm sorry, I can't get over that.
The Turtles could never eat their way out of an obstacle. And the Sharks can. So, I mean, I gotta give the upper hand to dental prowess to the Sharks.
That's what this show has over Turtles, dental prowess.
Dental prowess!
Okay, so this is one of my favorite moments of this show, which is like another moment of like, this show doesn't care. they're running away from the police, and somehow the sharks, they see it. They're not literally running. They're in a car chase with the police, and so they pass a billboard, and the sharks like eat the part of the billboard, and then fit their car in the hole that they just ate in the billboard. Like, what the hell?
That was a clever little escape that they did.
I don't know. I'm on board with the sharks. So, and then at the end, we get a new, like, so the way that these two episodes kind of end, because they're direct continuations of one another, is just like they take the story to another level of like, what the hell? How does this even make sense? At the end, all these tanks show up. So we've seen some police, like they, when they first transformed, they had to escape from the police. And like the last half of this episode is this just them like trying to run away from the police. But now there's all these tanks that just show up out of nowhere. Like there's no precedent for it. It's not like they showed like military presence in the town or whatever. But now there's all these tanks surrounding the sharks and it kind of ends. So I'm just like, whoa, this is getting heavy. The military is on board now.
That was kind of one thing that was a little interesting to me is like this town of Vision City. They make a point of saying several times that like it's very polluted. What does that weather guy say?
It's guy in the sky with a big good morning, Vision City. Although good seems to be a bit optimistic. Ozone's a crackling, the UV's off a scale at 10++, and the carbon monoxide, bleh, you don't want to know. I can't lie to you, Fistus. It's a stinkhole of a day, okay? Yuck. Even the state university gets failing grades for air quality.
He's like, CO2 is off the charts.
Yeah, because even the weather is extreme. But it's like, maybe that was something they were trying to say with like pollution and whatnot, but it doesn't really play into the episode. Like, I was just expecting that to play a part in the transformation of the street sharks.
It's weird. I think that because, yeah, they have this, there's kind of a, throughout the episode, we hear this radio disc jockey kind of announcing things and like, oh, there's some sharks on the town or whatever. But when we first kind of get this announcer, he starts talking about all the pollution in the city. I think it's just to create, like, let you know that this city is shitty. Like, and so I don't know if they're trying to make like a Gotham type city or whatever, but yeah, they don't really address the pollution aspect in this episode. I know reading some of the episode descriptions that pollution is a big thing in this show, but yeah, they don't really get into it in this episode or the next one really either, but yeah.
Well, they got to set up this whole dynamic between the street sharks and the evil Dr. Paradigm. Like that seems to be the thrust of these first this pilot series of three episodes, I guess. But that was one thing I would have liked to have. Maybe that's like a hook that they can maybe mine a little bit in the series proper when it becomes like an actual like series.
And here's another thing too that I'm going to keep trying to defend street sharks to you, Dave, but I feel like one thing that we're doing differently this episode and the next episode for Street Sharks that we haven't done for previous cartoons is that we're actually starting at the very beginning. And so
that's true. Yeah, good point.
There's a possibility. I don't know because I haven't seen the episodes, but there's a potential that once the Street Sharks kind of come into their own in future episodes, say episode 20 or whatever, they may have found their rhythm. But you're right. I mean, it starts out as a blatant ripoff, which I mean, I totally give you. But I feel like there's some seedlings here that can blossom into something that is even more extreme.
You see, I knew it. This was all just a ploy. Like, you want to do an entire series on Street Sharks, don't you?
I mean, you don't have to twist my arm or my fin.
Oh, my God. All right. Ring the bell. That's another pun. Shark pun.
I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep defending Street Sharks into the second episode. So you can look forward to that. But if you're listening to this and you have an opinion on Street Sharks, yes, I don't think anyone would dispute that they rip off the Turtles. But do they make their ripoff worthwhile? And I'm arguing yes right now. I'm on board.
I'm arguing that they don't in these first two episodes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right. Maybe it just took them a little bit of time to find their footing. Maybe they could have tried something interesting with that whole pollution angle. But as it is in this pilot, like if I was someone responsible for like putting this on air, like looking at these first three episodes and like these guys are promising me, like I would probably only put it on the air for cynical reasons. Like, yeah, this will probably sell some toys. Let's put it on the air.
Okay.
Like,
let's cover some ground real quick, about the toys, because this ties into something that I just think is very funny and interesting and something that everyone should know in case anyone doesn't know yet, is that there is a toy commercial for Street Sharks starring Vin Diesel.
So what?
So if you don't know about this, look it up. Maybe Dave can find the clip on YouTube and get the audio or whatever, but there's a Street Shark toy commercial starring Vin Diesel. So take that to the bank.
Chad, load that trailer. Load that commercial, Chad.
What are we looking at here? We're looking at Boomer. This is Boomer. He's got the biggest mouth of them all. He's the whale shark. Say hello to that round mound of pound and his power slam. Very deadly. He loves to tenderize the competition before he eats him. Then we've got Sledge the Hammerhead. Sledge the Hammerhead loves to floor the competition with the flying headbutt. You got me? He's the leader of the Street Sharks. He's a great warrior. He's got the feels real shark skin, and his special power is the right hand roundhouse punch. He sends the competition to a watery grave. Boom! Death.
All right, well, does that legitimize Street Sharks? Is that what you're telling me, Nick? This has Vin Diesel behind it? Is this legitimized now?
I'm just saying that the origins of Street Sharks has some credibility to it, you know?
It's got the Vin seal of approval.
This is my historical citation point to support my original thesis that Street Sharks has validated its existence. So,
well, as speaking of validation, like I don't want to be all negative here. So if let's talk about some positives. I do have some positives. Like, for instance, we mentioned this in the beginning of the episode when I was in like the first of many instances where I cut into the synopsis to say what the fuck. But you mentioned Genghis Khan DNA. So in the beginning of the episode, when Dr. Paradigm is experimenting, he gathers all the elements that the animalistic or fish elements that he wants, and then he starts looking at the human DNA and thinking, like, what am I going to use for the human aspect? Like, it's got to be, like, tough and cool or whatever. He's like, maybe this or this or, Genghis Khan. And as he's doing this, like, so presumably this is the DNA he's mixing in, and I'm thinking, like, now, does he actually have Genghis Khan's DNA, or is he just talking about, like, traits that he has created? Like, you know what I mean? Like has he artificially created these human traits, or
no
does
way.
He actually
that's,
have
that's
Genghis
really
Khan's DNA?
That's really Genghis Khan, Dave.
Okay, that is awesome. The fact that they just kind of like breeze over the fact that he somehow has the DNA of all these famous people throughout history, that is cool.
Yes, it is cool. Thank you.
And I love that it's just in like an open vial too. He's just sort of wiggling it around like it's a fucking like thing of whiskey or something. Like, chuk, 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 you know, he's just haphazardly like just you know, just like wiggling it around in the air. Like the DNA could just flop out at any moment, just splash out.
he's got plenty of horrific leaders in the back. So I mean,
it's crazy.
No big deal. And I guess we should mention this because as a kid, this would be cool to me. I don't. It's kind of lame now, but so he makes two monsters, like we said. So there's the Genghis Khan monster, but the other DNA that he has is an old pirate named Captain Blood. So as a kid,
Oh,
that's cool. So as right now, I mean, that's kind of the least impressive thing in the show, or besides the song, which I guess we didn't talk about, but the song sucks. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank God. If you had said, I don't know, I think this looks pretty good, I would have walked out on this show right now. I'd be like, I'm sorry, Saturday Morning Apocalypse is no more. Yeah. I cannot condone that viewpoint on this show that the Street Shark song is good. It is not good.
They wasted all their budget on the extremeness of the content of the show, so they had to come up with something real quick.
It's seriously just like, Street Sharks! Street Sharks! They bite! They fight! They're Street Sharks.
I think that, you know, from my knowledge, now correct me if I'm wrong. I hope I don't offend you, Dave, but I think that you and I probably don't have much musical talent, but I'm guessing we could probably make something better than this song.
They fight the Street Sharks. They're gonna kill some serious men to win the Street Sharks.
If we really put our heads to it, I'm sure we could have come up with better lyrics than "They save the day, the Street Sharks. That's just lazy. This to me screams like the animators, you know, they spent all this time trying to make them as extreme as possible, but nobody thought, like, I think the one element of Turtles that they forgot about was the song. And they didn't think about that until the end. Like, oh, shit. Oh, wait. Like, that was the thing with the Turtles is they got that really catchy theme song. We need a song, too. But it's like, but guys, we gotta deliver this pilot to the fucking network in like a week. And they just had no time. And like, that's the result. Like, that's what I foresee having happened with this theme, because it is just lazy.
Yeah, it is really lazy. And I'm guessing, so I don't know for sure, but as a kid, we really resonate to the theme song. That's why we like the Spider-Man cartoon, the X-Men cartoon, Power Rangers, Turtles. I'm guessing that maybe that's why I don't remember this show very well, is because the theme song sucks.
Street Sharks! Street Sharks!
So you got anything?
I'll say this: like, I like the fact that it has transitions. Like, when there was like one moment in the show when like it cuts to Ripster, the great white shark. It cuts to his face, and he like munches, and it like transitions into the next scene. Like, that was kind of cool, and the logo is kind of cool. It like chomps down, but that's it. That's where the coolness ends with the marketing of this show. Apparently, it's just, God, I think they were really just banking on the fact that they eat a lot of stuff, they munch a lot of stuff. It's going to be cool when they, like, swim through the streets, and people are going to be like, look how fucking awesome they look. They're, like, totally buff. They're like Arnold Schwarzenegger, dude. Like, I think that's what they were banking on. And to me, that wasn't enough. Like, honestly, I know this is funny to say, but if it had a good theme song, I might have been on board with this. That, honestly, the more we talk about it, that might be the missing factor. If it had a catchy theme song and that song played throughout their hijinks throughout the episode, it might have been enough for me to be like, hey, you know, this is a charming enough little cartoon, I suppose.
It is funny because, like we've talked about, the show is trying to be so extreme, but the song is such a whimper compared to everything else they're doing. It's just like, it doesn't jive at all. So I'm totally on board with you in regards to the shitty song, and that maybe if they had a better song, maybe you could have been on my side, but maybe, you know, I'm going to keep fighting for Street Sharks. So look forward to that. I mean, I'm going to keep fighting for Street Sharks because they're badass and extreme.
And there was, I mean, again, speaking of positive, I love how we were trying to get into positives and then jumped right into the negative again. One more positive thing I had, I'm wondering if this is expanded upon in the series proper, but there's a line that says, like, hey, man, like they're in the car, they're trying to hide in the van, like, when after they've, like, camouflaged themselves in the big billboard with the van, and like the sharks are like moving in the van, and Ben's their friend who's driving says, like, guys, quit moving, and one of them says, we have to keep moving, man, we're half shark. That was interesting. It's not touched upon at all in this or the second episode, but I'm thinking to myself, that's something that could be interesting, like, in the show. The fact that they're sharks and they have to keep moving. Like, honestly, when that happened, it showed a sense of reality that this show hasn't presented up to this point, where I'm just like, that's the one realistic thing you're going to put into the show is the fact that they're sharks and therefore they have to always move. That shocked me again. That was another shocking moment of reality. I was just like, what?
Yeah, I like that line a lot, too. It just sticks out from the episode because it is, I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, maybe they'll get more consistency and logic-based shark features going on in the future. The only way to find out is by watching more, right?
I feel like they have to, because, like, if I'm the writer of this show, it's like, you have to have more than the Turtles ripoffs. Like, you have to exploit the fact that they're sharks. So there's what else? I'm sure at some point, like, they have, like, senses where they can, like, sense, like, what is it the sharks do, like vibration or shit like that in the water? I mean, granted, they're not in the water, but I'm sure that that's brought up, I would imagine.
Here's a question for you, Dave. Now, one of the most famous things about sharks, something that, like, I think drives fear of sharks as kids, is that they can smell blood in the water.
Yes.
Do you think that we could get that in the show?
I'm wondering if blood is the one step too far in the show. I'm wondering if it'll just be something like they can sense distress or they could smell certain things or something. I don't know. Like, I'm wondering if blood is the one step too far. If that's too extreme for this show.
Listen, I'm just saying, I'm just putting this out here, out there, that, you know, we've had several feature-length Ninja Turtle cartoons. And they've had varying degrees of success, right? And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that gets put out in our movies nowadays that, why can't we get a live-action Street Sharks movie?
Get the fuck out of here.
I bet it would be cool.
Okay, yes, we are in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Yes, there are half-human, half-shark people roaming out there. But even then, I would not want to make a Street Sharks live-action movie.
Representation, Dave.
Equal representation.
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't have too much else to say about the first episode. I kind of want to jump into the second episode because that's, to me, that's where some of the more brutality bits come in. Did you have any other talking points on episode one?
No, I've tried to defend it this first episode, so we'll keep the train going in the second episode. I have more notes about the second episode actually, so let's get into that.
Well, yeah, and just to reiterate, like we said, this is the first episode, and these first three episodes, so we're only talking about the first two, but these first three episodes, they are one contained story, which I didn't realize going in until the episodes were ending, and like when this ended and it was a cliffhanger, I was like, oh shit, is this, I was thinking to myself, is this a serialized, like, cartoon? If so, that's pretty new for the time when this came out. Like, usually they were episodic.
So, I'm thinking that the fans are going to demand us watch more. I mean, that's a safe bet. So, I mean, if that happens, which, I mean, I can't imagine it won't, I mean, then we can do more, but we'll see.
Oh, boy. Well, that's going to do it for the first of our Street Sharks double feature at Saturday Morning Apocalypse. Be sure to leave us a comment or rating on apocalypsevideo.com. Facebook or our Instagram at Apocalypse Video. We'd love to hear what you think. Again, all you Street Sharks fans out there, let us know. Like, are you siding with me? Are you siding? Well, I guess the fans wouldn't be siding with me. But let's get a pulse out there. Like, Street Sharks, does anybody remember? Like, what's the consensus? Lame or cool? Let us know. On you can send us an email too at apocalypsevideopod@gmail.com. Want to hear what you think? That's gonna do it for the first episode of the Street Sharks Saturday Morning Apocalypse. We'll be back next time with episode 2, Shark Bite.
I want to show you something up close and personal. I've got something here with such fantastic detail, it's going to blow you away. Head shark! Rocky Balboa action. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.